Welcome to the Antimatter Radio Show on Thursday, July 30, 2009, 4 p.m. Eastern, live from West Lafayette, Indiana. Big show today. Sorry we're getting on a little bit late, but everybody's busy and lots to do. I'll be getting off the show immediately at 5 p.m. Eastern today, because at 5 p.m. Eastern I'm going on to the Nutramedical Report Radio Show with Dr. Deagle. I hope all of you go over there and listen to that, or you listen to another good show on this BBS radio station, one of the two after this. If you do want to listen to me on the other one, it's NutriMedical.com, or you can check out other good shows after me on BBS here as well. There's plenty to choose from, that's for sure. That's why I chose this network to be on, because this network is the best. It's got the best information. People like Preston Dennett and Len Horowitz and Pat Corey right before me. It's unbelievable information. Anyway, I have a major announcement. This show, we've talked about the book Lost Star, written by Walter Cruttenden, every day, or every show since this Antimatter Radio show has started. And next week, Walter Cruttenden is going to be a guest on this show live for a special two-hour Antimatter Radio show. So that is going to be unbelievable. And as I've told you, he's written one of the most incredible books I've ever read. And trust me, I've read a lot of books. It's altered my perception of the world, and I view it as a science textbook that everybody should read. And you're going to hear him on this show for almost 2 hours next week. So that's going to be incredible. And I look forward to all of you being able to listen, hopefully, at that time. Continuing on, the show website for this radio show is antimatterradio.com. And that's antimatterradio.com. And there's a new store page on that website. You can go to, you'll see it in a link on the left-hand column called Store. And you can go there and you can find for purchase some of the best. I've basically taken my favorite books and videos through the years and put them on that store, and you can purchase all of them right there. If you'd like, you check out through Amazon.com, and of course, I get a small cut, so you'll be helping me out as well, which is always appreciated and allows me to do further research and support my family and do things like that. I'm going to be working on that store site more, building it up through the next few days, but it's already in pretty good shape. It'll definitely be show you a good selection of books that probably many of you have never heard of and have absolutely expanded my view of reality. So what I want to do today is talk about, I labeled last week's show as part one of a discussion of telementation, ego, and nirvana. And I want to continue that and conclude that today with part two of that. And I've got a lot to say, so we need to get moving. So the first thing I just want to say is I want everybody to just listen to this. Reality is created by your consciousness. Okay? Everybody needs to understand this simple fact. I know it's different than what you've been told in church. I know it's different than what you've been told in school and on TV. I know you don't hear it on Fox News or PBS. But it's basically, I don't like to use the word proof, but it's pretty much proven by modern science, by quantum mechanics, that the quantum particles that make up reality are created and controlled by your conscious perception. Okay, this was known back when Niels Bohr, the famous physicist, discovered it in late 20s, early 30s, right in there. He's one of my favorite human beings that ever lived. His last name is Bohr, B-O-H-R, for those of you who don't know who I'm talking about. And there's really no serious debate needed over how important our consciousness is to the world. And this is the solution to all our problems. This is what is called, what I call, of course, my recent book, which is $9 on Amazon. It's called Telementation. In this book, I teach you how to steer your consciousness in a way where you can control reality. This is a real phenomenon, and it's got science behind it. The most prestigious science in the world is called quantum physics. It's the most amazing, mathematically precise, statistically sound, empirically fantastic science ever created by humans, and it supports and rests upon this philosophical thesis of telementation, that your consciousness shapes and creates particle reality, shapes and creates the world that you live in. So this is unbelievable. This is a human revolution in the making. That's the those wonderful people who wrote the book The Secret, they call this a human revolution. They call telementation The Secret. I call it telementation. But I agree with what they've stated, that this is a human revolution. And there is no doubt there's a human renaissance coming. We are, humans are in the doldrums right now. We're stuck in front of our TVs. We're stuck working at jobs that do not spiritually fulfill us. We're unarmed in many cases. We don't have weapons. We don't have closeness to our families. We don't have spiritual depth. All this is going to change. That's my prediction in the near future. And one of the main driving forces of it is going to be telementation. People like Dr. Wayne Dyer, the people who wrote the book The Secret, people like Joan D'Arc, who wrote one of the most incredible books on telementation, which is called Phenomenal World. That's available from the store on antimatterradio.com. And, of course, then there's my book, telementation.com, which is just coming out now. And there's many others. This is a phenomenon that is gaining popularity all over the world. It was written about in the Bible. It was written about in all the major world religions. And people are starting to discover this, this issue that your consciousness creates reality, as the ancient Buddhists taught us 2,500 years ago. And this is the end to our hardship. This is the end to us living in a dark age. This is the end of us living in what some philosophers have called the dark night of the soul, basically just human ignorance, human egotistical nature. And we humans have the opportunity to shape a world which is pretty much beyond what has been dreamed of by many of us. We're basically conditioned to believe that the world is just kind of the way it is, and there's nothing we can do about to change it. And problems are there, and the impoverished people will always be there, and we'll always have government corruption, and we'll always have war, and we'll always have disease, and we'll always have unsatisfaction, we'll always have despiritualization, and we'll always have this and always have that, and we always just kind of have to be mediocre and settle for just a humdrum life of going to a job we hate and coming home and watching TV shows and being spiritually unfulfilled. False, 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 and every single count. Okay? That's, like I said, on last week's show, and that's why I'm discussing it again, this is a continuation of last week's show when I was on vacation. Those are the products of an unenlightened age, an unenlightened people, culture, a non-telementational culture. Okay, and that's all changing. People are waking up worldwide, but especially here, and I think America is leading the way here. The reason is because we have a lot of wealth where people can afford to buy books. We have the Internet delivering us books, and we have the Internet giving us free information, and we have people really hungry for the truth, and we've got this American spirit that we've always had through the past 200 and some years where we are... although we're a little bit slabbish and pathetic right now, we've still got that American spirit where we want to search and find and get to the pinnacle and be spiritually fulfilled. And like our founding fathers showed us before us, we want to be free and independent and powerful. And the best way to do that is through the spiritual technology of telementation. Of course, there's other ways, you know, eating according to a holistic diet and practicing alternative medicine and other meditations in addition to telementation and carrying weapons and being close to your family and having a big library of the best books that you read from daily. These are all empowering things. But the most empowering thing of all is telementation. And I just really hope all of you take part in this human revolution that I can see building everywhere. I can feel it building everywhere. Things are changing. Human consciousness is not individualistic. It's a group thing, and that's provable. Books written by scientists, professors and scientists, freelance or in mainstream academia, books by people like, of course, Walter Crittenden, who's coming on the show next week, Dean Radin, one of the most incredible scientists out there, and many other books that we can talk about at other times. These people have proven that parapsychology is real. Now, you won't hear that on the Discovery Channel. You won't hear that in your introduction to psychology class at the University of Michigan or Purdue University or something. But that doesn't mean it's not true, and it doesn't mean the science is not there. And all of you can do these scientific experiments. Real science is only science that you all can do from your home right now. Okay, if you can't do it, it's not science. It's just some esoteric bunk that a bunch of people or just a few people know and nobody else knows. That's not science. There's a famous quote that I've often told my university students back when I was still teaching by, I think it was Rutherford, the famous physicist back from the early 1900s, said, in talking about physics, he said, if you can't explain your physics to a barmaid in 5 minutes, then it's not good physics. And I just thought, when I heard that quote years ago, I just thought that was the most incredible, truthful quote. And I based all my teaching for years on that, being able to try to just explain things to people, the most complex, incredibly in-depth ideas to anybody in 4 minutes. And they understand it perfectly. And the only way I could do that is if I thoroughly understood the topics myself and understood that they're not complex, that reality is simple, not complex, and then found the most wonderful and peaceful and poetic and simple words to describe it. And students told me through the years that that's exactly what marked my teaching, and even other professors who would overhear or my teaching or hear me at talks or whatnot would describe that in the same way. And that's what this show is all about, except now I'm uncensored, I'm happy to say. So the Antimatter Radio Show, I think, is indeed special. It's got my idiosyncratic twist on the nature of reality being described right for you. Of course, many, like Pat Corey, who's on this network right before me, or Dr. Len Horowitz, one of the most incredible thinkers in the world today, in my opinion, who's on this network, or Alex Jones, who's becoming extremely popular in his radio show and who's given me great exposure and had me on as a guest at his show, and Dr. Deagle, who's another person I mentioned earlier in the show. I mean, these are all incredible thinkers and leading forth in this revolution of the human spirit that is taking part. And there is no doubt that consciousness is, as we've already said, is not an individual thing. I'm writing another book. It would be my fourth book. It's called, the current title is The Star Creatures and the Origins of Humanity. It's looking like it will be out this winter. It will be my greatest personal project I've ever worked on. And in the first part of that book, basically we go through the scientific verification that consciousness is a group activity. It doesn't mean that you're not individualistic. It just means that we affect each other with our consciousness. So if you walk into a room and get all and you're all upset and filled with anger, you will telepathically alter the consciousnesses of the other people in the room, so they will take part and feel your anger. And all of you can, you've known this is the case. You can feel this going on. You can feel people's, for example, anger infect you. Now that's just one simple example in describing how consciousness has always worked. And there's so many other deeper ways to describe this contagion of consciousness, this telepathic entity globally and universe-wide called consciousness, but I don't have time to explain them all here. Just the point is that there's a feedback loop that has started, and I call it the human renaissance, the human revolution, or the telementational revolution, you could call it also, that is rolling, and it's not going to stop, and our future is not dark and horrific. Our future is great. Now, we're going to have some hard times. The U.S. economy appears that it's going to collapse. I don't care what you saw the stock market do today. The U.S. dollar is going to be deliberately... What happens is the global corporate masters who work in secret to control the world, and you can read about that in books like, for example, the title of Superclass is the name of a book you can read all about this in, written by these people in these organizations. What they do is they just carry out means to undercut the economy if they want it to collapse for certain ways, if they want to rearrange the world and whatnot. So one example is to just cut the funding by the banks that they control, which of course we all know has been going on. Another way is to collapse the currency, and of course that's going to happen with the U.S. dollar. It's already started, but it's going to continue its trajectory. So there's going to be dark times, and there's going to be people who aren't prepared, people who are not self-sufficient, who have been relying on grocery stores for their food rather than the healthy, free food they can grow with little effort in their backyard. There are going to be people who are unprepared because they don't have weapons, and they've been tricked into thinking that weapons cause crime rather than the people causing crime. Saying weapons cause crime is kind of like saying if somebody stabs someone, we need to ban knives. Or if someone looks at pornography, we need to ban printing presses. Or if someone drowns in a swimming pool, we need to ban swimming pools. Or if somebody falls out a window, we need to ban windows. Okay, it doesn't make any. It's completely ridiculous. The fact is that weapons give people power, and corrupt government doesn't like that. That's why the founding fathers focused so much on weapons as being the instrument of power for the citizenry, the militia, the Jeffersonian states, that the Founding Fathers talked about in such detail. So we do have dark times coming, but overall we've got a human renaissance, people getting back to family, getting back to spiritual culture, getting back to art, getting back to forests and sky, trees and animals, and not working 90 hours a week at some job they hate. We've all these things that are happening right now that appears traumatic, everything that's going on right now. And yes, there's traumas that are happening, and man, there sure are going to be some huge ones coming. But overall, the end product that I'm predicting to you, and I've been predicting this for years for students, is out of the dark that we're in and going into further, is a massive human renaissance that's coming over the next, say, 100 years or so. And the other side of it is going to be humans being quite a much better state than they are now. The state they're now in now is quite pathetic. As we discussed on past shows, of course, the global state of humanity is to be in a massive plantation, as we've discussed on past shows, so I won't discuss it now. Mass poverty, disease, ignorance, we're in a pretty sad state. I want to shift gears because I want to continue and conclude this discussion. We started last week, which I'm titling Nirvana, Ego, and Telementation. But first, I want to just discuss it for just a few minutes something I discussed at the very end of last week's show when I was discussing monuments that are underwater. Okay, I just need to conclude that. This is a very, very, very amazing, critical topic, which has massive implications and can really enlighten you to the possible true story of world history, which is counter to the one that you're told on TV and in schools, of course. Okay, what we were talking about last week is that there's all this evidence for undersea ruins right off the coasts of continents and all over the world, everywhere, more or less. And it's almost as if the real history, the real monuments of antiquity are underwater, and strangely, all the universities won't talk to us about this. They'll just talk to us. I have an anthropology undergrad degree, as I've said on past shows, then nobody talked to me about the pyramids or Tiahuanaco or Baalbek or the Mayan pyramids or anything in that anthropology degree. Even in my archaeology courses, they would just talk about stone tools from 3.5 million years ago, blah, blah, blah. They wouldn't talk to me about any of the things in Michael Cremo's book, Forbidden Archaeology, which are all kinds of interesting artifacts that have been found. So the point is that there's archaeological evidence globally to support the idea that there was a massive, incredibly high-tech civilization, global civilization that existed somewhere between 2 and 10,000 years ago, and a global coastal sea level rise wiped out this civilization. And these monuments are everywhere. Go to antimatterradio.com, click on the archives at the beginning, and go under the notes for last week's show, and you'll see I linked you to one of them. There's palaces and pyramids underwater off the coast of Japan, and I linked you to Graham Hancock's site. He's one of the experts on this topic. Been on the National Geographic Channel, written tons of books and everything. And his website documents all of this stuff, and it's linked right there in antimatterradio.com in the radio archives page from last week's show's notes. So there's no, you know, it's not like I'm bringing up something spooky and mysterious, like, oh, there might have been a, you know, advanced culture. No, we've got to see it with your own eyes, pure proof that all over the world. Here's the point that I wanted to bring up last week, though, and that point is that it's kind of curious that this happened, and in conjunction with the fact that our current political leaders are telling us that we're all doomed, more or less, that there's global warming is a disaster and we're all going to be underwater in 100 years or something. I mean, first of all, there's no evidence that any of that is happening. Okay, so why are they preaching it all in unison with few dissenters being allowed on the mainstream media? That's curious right there. So either are they planning something? Are they going to use some of their high technology to melt Antarctica, which, of course, we know that they can. Go look up HAARP, HARP, and that'll show you the Alaskan military base where they have atmospheric heaters where they can perform these kinds of activities, such as heating up the whole world and or heating up Antarctica in order to melt it to rise to sea level. So this is easy for them to do. They could do it if they wanted to. So are they planning something like that? Global corporate masters that work in secret, or do they know something's coming, like a magnetic event in 2012, which many people are predicting, including NASA, where a combination of a couple things might happen. There'll be unusual solar activity, which creates solar flares, which will heat the Earth temporarily and dramatically. Or perhaps they know that there's going to be a magnetic pole alteration of Earth. Now, a lot of people are calling for this. And this, I've even said on past radio that I subscribe to this theory. Notice I said theory. I mean, when you read a book like Robert Felix's book, what's his book? Not by Fire, but by Ice. I recommend all of you to read that unfathomable book. Very empirical, scientific book. Very easy to read, however, too, which is nice. You can read it quickly. But he shows what would happen if there was a magnetic pole alteration, where the poles decrease and then rearrange on Earth of the magnetic field and then start up again, which happens frequently. Now, most scientists say that it's very gradual and happens over thousands of years. But as Felix and others have pointed out in other books, there is a lot of evidence that shows that this doesn't happen gradually. And it's very sudden and it happens very regularly. And we're right now due for one of these. And the most interesting thing of all is the magnetic fields have decreased dramatically in the last 20 years, the magnetic field of the Earth. So there's other evidence too. There's many signs that this is in fact happening, and it would sort of reach a turning point right around 2011, 2012, 2013, 14, 15, somewhere in there. So, and that's pretty interesting when you think about the ancient Mayans, and all of you know about 2012, probably listening to this show, the ancient Mayans predicting some sort of global shift of some sort. So what would happen then, if there was a magnetic field shift, is that you would have, for a number of reasons which I don't have time to explain, you can go read. I've got some news articles posted on NutriMedical.com, another site, about this. And also, there's books like Felix's. Long story short, this would most likely melt Antarctica and rise the global sea level dramatically. So it could be the case that the global corporate masters know this is going to happen and are preparing everybody, and they're going to just blame it on global warming or something, rather than not blame it on, and not blame it on what it really is going on with a spontaneous and natural magnetic pole shift on Earth. Now, there's evidence also that they will do that because they're currently, I mean, there's all the signs are there of this magnetic pole shift event happening, and they're not reporting it on the mainstream news. It'll make it in a news story here and there, Fox News will put out one story and nobody else will, and they'll just be on their site, not very well publicized, and Associated Press will put something out and nobody will pick it up and run it. So they're really not reporting on this. One of the biggest news stories in world history is just basically shut out while the mass media just sits around and talks about Michael Jackson and this stupid story about the professor arrested in Boston or whatever. I'm so glad I was on vacation last week and didn't have to listen to that garbage for the whole week. On the news. And so there's evidence, if you go back and listen to this show in the archive later and put everything together, what I'm saying right now, there is massive evidence that this pole shift event is going on. The mass media is going to cover it for the global, and therefore the global masters are going, corporate masters are going to cover it up. So the point is that when you look at, we know that this corporate elite has been in control of the world for thousands and thousands of years, okay? There's all kinds of evidence to support that, including just the history of the Freemasons, which are an infiltrated group. How that fraternity goes back 8,000 years, and so forth. Tower of Babel and everything. So, sorry, Tower of Babylon. So in order to get to the point here, it's possible that a global sea level rise is in the works, and it's either planned or the global elite knows about it and is not releasing the information through the mass media, and they're blaming it on global warming in order to get everybody to think that you're the reason for the global coastal event, you know, because you drive your car too much or something. And you put too much CO2 in the air, which is, of course, false. That's not the cause of it, of anything, except increased farming production and healthier air for us all to breathe. You can go to the Science magazine, the most prestigious scientific journal in the world, and look up CO2 global warming, those three keywords, and you'll see all kinds of articles how it shows that increase in CO2 is linked with an increase in farming production, increase, there's a greening of the planet, the air quality becomes better, because we all know, and we're learning in kindergarten, that CO2 and oxygen are related, and, you know, we use oxygen and put out CO2, and trees use CO2 and put out oxygen. Plants do. So also, I guess Al Gore wants us to think that we're evil for doing this or something. It's almost like the oil industry is good and cars are good for putting all the CO2 in the atmosphere. But I guess we're supposed to think carbon, the basis of all life, is bad now. So anyways, to conclude this, what I want to say is that it appears that a plan that is now in action here on planet Earth by the global corporate New World Order has been used in the past. That's a theory, and there's some evidence for that, and it should be investigated. Somebody out there should investigate this, because I don't have time, and I'm not going to. But this is a major. This is a book. Somebody could put out a pretty good-selling book with this thesis that I'm proposing here. If you're putting all these dots together. So let me move on to other topics now. I want to conclude our discussion in the next 20 minutes of telementation, nirvana, and ego. This is the most important topic I think there is, because all of you don't understand, I'm believing, I bet even some of you are experienced meditators out there, may not understand the power that you have within you. And to recap in a couple sentences the summary of last show so I can move on to conclude this topic, in your consciousness, hidden below your what's called your personality, is a power source, and it's your true consciousness, your true self. And I call it telementation. Others have called it nirvana or God. Some people have called it God or God's image. Perhaps Christians may call it God's image. And it is a religious, spiritual ecstasy. It is not separated and or different from all the elementary particles of energy that compose reality. It interacts with those and has the ability to steer those to shape reality as you want reality to be shaped. That's called telementation. Okay, so all of you can see this power within you by simply doing meditation, by looking inward at yourself. And if you penetrate in beneath the cracks in your ego, your personality, you will behold this true self that you are, which is made of infinite light, as to put it in the terminology that the Buddhists often put it in. Now, your consciousness, your real consciousness, not your ego, for simplicity, let's consider your consciousness composed of two parts. And this is all outlined very much in my book, Telementation. Your consciousness is composed of an ego personality, which is filled with worry and fear and pain and suffering and unintelligence, and it's basically a dope. It basically stumbles through the world like a klutz and never really does anything right, is always fearful, and it's full of addiction. And that's a personality that humans can spontaneously fall in. And it can happen culture-wide, as is most of the global culture, the world cultures today exhibit. Okay. Now there's a second alternative. And it corresponds to the other part of your consciousness, which is the real part. The ego part really doesn't exist because it's really not you. It's just it's a falsity. It's kind of like a mask. And, you know, when you're putting a mask on and walk around town and say it's a clown mask or something, people will know, you know, that's not really him. It's just a mask, and the real him is underneath. That's kind of the way ego and your inner core, your telementational self work. The ego is just a false mask covering the real self, and the real self is filled with positivity, joy, feelings of religious ecstasy and oneness with the spiritual entity or entities of the highest nature. And it's carries this knowledge that this is ultimate reality. When you behold this entity within you, you have this apprehension, this awareness that this religious light that is in you is the real stuff. You're at the bedrock, and you're satisfied when you're living at this level. You're not searching for this or that or trying to become different than what you are. You accept yourself and you accept things, and you're at peace. You're fulfilled. You're satisfied. That's why the Buddhists often discuss nirvana as being satisfaction, because humans are dissatisfied. And you don't know that unless you look inside yourself to see that. Okay. Now, the second layer of consciousness, the real layer, has several layers in it, the core of which is, can be called nirvana. The whole thing, though, can be called telementation. And it's an ineffable, holy entity through which you have experiences. That's really what your true consciousness is. Now, our consciousnesses also are not different from each other, the true consciousnesses, because if you examine the contents of your consciousness and my consciousness and you define them and try to describe what they're all about, you really can't find any, the descriptions become exactly the same, and you can't find any differences between the consciousnesses. So the best thing to do is just conclude that the consciousnesses are the same or interlinked or not separate or something. Okay, that refers to what I was discussing earlier in the show. That's scientifically verifiable, as I'm going to be covering in my upcoming book. It appears that consciousness is also pervading things like plants and animals and anything that has life, basically, appears to be measurably conscious. And let me describe this very important issue, what I mean here. Now, life is usually defined by academics as, you know, when certain parts and pieces come together and link up in a certain way, then we have a certain kind of activity or of a system, and we call that life. For example, when you have something that has metabolism and digestion and some kind of perception of some level working together for survival and consumption, that's what we call life. Okay, that's what the academics call life. Now, that's all really nice, I would propose, following others who I'm going to quote here in a second, that they're not getting to the heart of the issue. There's a deeper layer of life. That life, that's a sort of symptom of life, of a certain kind of life. Okay, that description, that biological description we just gave, that's an offshoot or a product of what life is in its real sense. Now, what I'm going to propose is that life is some sort of a non-physical force that is everywhere in reality, associated with and/or indistinguishable from universe-wide consciousness. Now, you might think that sounds like something that's just a nice idea, but interestingly, you can prove this with scientific investigation. Now, I'm going to discuss that in 1 second here, but before you get turned off by this, let me just remind you that just because they don't talk about this in church and on TV and in the universities doesn't mean it's not real. The universities are controlled by corporate money, by government money. So if someone goes to get a grant, as I discussed last week, to try to study this definition of life I've just given as being a vitalistic force, and try to measure this in things, no corporation or government is going to get money for this, because they just want you to build bombs and tanks and genetically modified food that poisons people and things like that. So, you know, it doesn't mean the science doesn't exist, but it's there. What I'm referring to is a book which I'm holding in my hand right now. Okay, it's called Primary Perception by Clive Baxter. This is sort of on one of the early telementation books. Basically, let me give you a quick summary of what happened here. This guy, Cleve Baxter, was a graduate student back, I think it was in the 60s, and he worked on lie detector tests. I think he was a grad student. He was working for the government also, I believe, and he worked on lie detectors. And one time he was working all night, and at 6 in the morning he got bored and said, "Hey, I think I'm going to just clip my lie detector gadgets onto this plant." He had a tree-like plant sitting next to him. I forgot the name of the plant. I could open up the book, but I'm not going to take the time to do that right now to find out the name of the plant. You can all get the book, Primary Perception, written by Cleve Baxter, Baxter, to investigate that for yourself. But he found that a lot of these nodes and stuff that the lie detector measures certain kinds of electromagnetic activity and whatnot. And he found that when he would have a certain thought in his head, like, "I'm going to chop the plant down," the lie detector instrumentation would receive a response which was coming from the plant it was connected to. Now, that's a really quick description of what Baxter found. The implications of this are utterly staggering. This would be one of the biggest discoveries. Well, it would be a rediscovery because ancient cultures have known this kind of philosophy and science before. But this would be just earth-shattering to our culture now. We would find that consciousness and intention is not restricted to humans and or animals, but is in something like a plant, okay? And it's working telepathically, okay? It's not working with sense apparatuses like eyes and ears and nose and mouth. We're tricked into thinking that the only way we can know anything is through eyes, ears, nose, mouth, and feeling, the tactile sense. Of course, that's not true, as we've discussed in past shows and as we will discuss again. Now, the thing that's interesting is all of you could do this experimentation yourself. You just have to find something that measures fields and forces and electromagnetism and so forth in a way that a lie detector roughly does, hook it up to a plant, and go chop the plant down. Literally, go chop the plant down. You can't pretend. You can't think, "Oh, I'm going to pretend to chop the plant down," because then you won't get the response. If you really are going to do it, therefore you have to go chop the plant down. You will see right before you do, if you set up the experiment adequately, a response from the plant. This is shocking. Shocking because, well, we've been taught the world is a different way than this. We've been taught that plants don't have consciousness. The only thing that has consciousness is humans. What a ridiculous idea, huh? Now, what I'm getting at here is that when I defined life a little while ago, I wanted to find consciousness is life. There's this, that Cleve Baxter calls the book Primary Perception, because his point is that there's a level of consciousness underlying all things, and we don't fully understand what it is and why it's there and how it gets in us and so forth, but it's there and you can measure it. He actually hooked up his little measurement machine that he had in the plant. He hooked it up to an egg, a chicken egg, before there was a heartbeat or anything in the chicken. And guess what he measured? He measured, Baxter did, pulses in electro and field activity, which mimicked perfectly the heartbeat of a chicken if the chicken were alive and had a heartbeat. It was at that point of growth for the egg. Now that's unbelievable. That almost proves his thesis, his theory, that there's this field of primary perception, this field of consciousness underlying things, and we don't understand fully what this field is, but yet it is influencing us. It apparently is us in some way, and it is plants, and it is chickens and eggs, and who knows where else it is. Every scientist on planet Earth needs to drop everything now and investigate this and give us reports. If you're working on atomic bombs and genetically modified food and these ridiculous vaccines that have aluminum and pesticide and mercury and aspartame and everything else in them, stop, okay? Do something that gives us power. You're going to stop soon anyways, because this whole pathetic, monopolistic, non-capitalistic financial system is ready to fall, and more adequately put, it's ready to transform into something else, probably some sort of global farming culture, which sounds pretty good to me. You're gonna stop anyways, because you're gonna be forced to stop. You think that the pharmaceutical industry is gonna be able to handle this pandemic that the corporate masters are orchestrating and predicting is going to come? If anything, of course, we all know the swine flu is a joke right now. It's nothing. But if it mutates, as they say, and you know a million people a day are contracting it, you think that the healthcare industry is gonna do anything but collapse? It's gonna be like trying to fit. If you're getting all those people in the hospitals and stuff, it's going to be like trying to fit 10,000 gallons of water through the eye of a needle, okay, in 1 second. Okay, it'll blast the needle. So then by that analogy, the needle is the healthcare system, and the water rushing through is the people rushing into the healthcare system to get treatment because they haven't got their herbs, they don't have their anisee, they don't have their St. John's wort, they don't have all these anti-flu herbs and so forth. They don't have good immune systems because they've been eating crap TV dinner food. And they've not been eating mineral and vitamin rich food and omega oils, and they're not doing telementation, which is the ultimate power, which can keep you safe and perfectly healthy from any danger of any sort. Okay, so I'm not going to keep discussing primary perception here. You all have to go and investigate this for yourself. This is the telementational core of reality. And I'm going to myself, in the future, I'm going to be setting up an institute called the Antimatter Institute when some more funding comes in. And I'm going to be the head of it, and we're going to have researchers and the whole deal. And we're going to get to the bottom of what this primary perception is. We're going to be researching things like that. But I need to move on to other topics now. In the last minutes of the show, I just want to discuss ego, nirvana, and telementation. And meditation. Meditation, in its general form, is a tool, a technology, a practice that a person undergoes to attain religious power. Okay? That's the most broad possible definition we can come up with meditation. More specifically, the kind of meditation that I'm engaged in is Soto Zen Buddhism, and it is such where you turn your conscious awareness, your mind's eye, this thing in you that looks at everything, looks out into the world. You turn it onto yourself and into your inner religious core of your life and of your consciousness. And upon beholding this inner religious core, you become a person illuminated with this God light, this nirvanic ecstasy. And you find out when you do that that this astral light is everywhere. It's all around. And it appears to be what the quantum physicists have been describing as quantum reality. Okay, it's composed of energy flashing around. And the only way to describe it is in a blissful way. Okay, you become not separate from, if you do this meditation properly, if you really make it your project in the way I describe in my book, Telementation, and other books such as that you can get on the Antimatter Radio store, you find out that there is a continuous and contiguous stream of existence from you to all ends of the universe. And simply realizing this is happiness. And until you do, you're unsatisfied and scrambling around and confused and living in just nothing but a state of suffering. Even if you think that you're not suffering, you think that you're sitting home and watching your 10 hours of Seinfeld tonight is happiness, it is in fact not happiness. And if you just simply turned off that television for 3 minutes tonight and with some effort penetrated and pierced and looked inside yourself, you would see emptiness, okay? And all the Seinfeld, 10 episodes of Seinfeld is doing is covering that up, okay? But then you'd see behind that emptiness if you continued that meditation, if you continued that activity of introspection, of Buddhist awareness, that behind that emptiness is this astral light, this pure light of reality. And you can't describe it if you just tell someone, oh, there's a pure light of reality inside you and it's bliss. That doesn't mean anything. It sounds like just a bunch of empty words, and it sounds pathetic. Okay, and that's good. You know why? Because the only way you can understand it is if you experience it. you have to go and occupy that level of being. You have to go to that higher level. It's a non-linguistic and a non-language level of reality. It's a higher order of reality, which is not describable in words, and you have to be it to understand its fulfillment. Okay, so the ego, the fear domain, which all of us in general in America are living on, is just merely a covering of that, a blinding shield and cover of this true self that exists within us. Now, in the telementational consciousness, this beneath the ego, that's where really effortlessly, once you learn how to do telementation, you can shape reality as you want. You can shape it to have safety and protection and religious power and fulfillment and happiness for yourself, your family, and for really all humans. But we're creating this reality telementationally together. So you may, if you telementationally try to create a world of peace, you may have trouble when you're battling with a world of other consciousnesses that are nothing but drunken, are drenched in fear, and yeah, I guess drunken fear too, and who are therefore telementationally creating a reality of fear. So you may be able to telementationally create a life of yourself for perfection and peace and happiness and safety, but we need to have more people on planet Earth awake to telementationally work with the meditators of the world to create a world of peace, because this has already started, but it's going to gain more speed, and the sooner the better. I am going to be going on the other radio show, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, the Nutra Medical Report at NutraMedical.com. I don't know if I want to steer too many of you away from this network, though, so you can listen to me over there if you'd like, but also at the same time, I don't want to steer you away from this network, because there's good stuff come on here too. So hopefully you'll listen to one of the two. But I want to thank everybody for listening to this show today, and I would like to really encourage all of you to get back here next week for a special two-hour antimatter radio show where we have as a guest Walter Cruttenden, author of Lost Star, the incredible book I've discussed on every show so far here on the Antimatter Radio Show. So definitely don't miss that. Check out antimatterradio.com and the archives for all the past radios, all the past editions of this radio show. And next week we will hit it harder than we have this week, and we'll get to the bottom of things even more. Thank you very much for listening. See you next week.